John Allegrotti is a professor of health education at Teachers College, Columbia University, and the president and CEO of the National Center for Health Education. He is this year's scholar and health education lecturer at ISU. We've known for years how obesity in children stores up health problems for them as children and as adults, but how much does it affect the intellectual development of kids?
What we're finding is that there is a compelling link between whether children are healthy and school performance. And it has a lot to do with the fact that school performance is related to how physically active children are, whether they are consuming diets that are nutritious. And we're finding in some research that is being published by other investigators as well as our own group that body mass index, how fat you are, may play a role in how academically talented and how academically able you are. The state of California looked at the California Standards Test achievement scores in relation to physical fitness scores of 5th, 7th, and 9th grade California students. And there is clearly a trend between their academic performance and whether they're physically fit.
How does learning change as weight rises?
Well, the mechanism, I think, underlying the relationship of physical activity, diet, and body mass index to cognitive performance is probably tied to some extent to the amount of oxygen that young people can get to the brain while being physically active.
So it's alertness and attentiveness.
Yeah, I think we know from the research that is being published that the more physically active you are, the more oxygen you get to the brain. And the more oxygen that one gets to the brain, the more cognitively able you are to attend to complex tasks, whether they're arithmetic or language arts or reading.
At least one RAND study out there of 11,000 kindergarten and first grade kids indicates that ethnicity and mother's education are stronger predictors of academic achievement on math and reading measurements than weight. So what matters most?
Well, that's an interesting bit of data that you've surprised me with. It's been known for a long time that socioeconomic status may be one of the single best predictors of ultimate health status. And we've known for a long time that households with much more resources and wealth, and indeed households that have large numbers of books on the bookshelves, produce children who do well in SAT scores and in their school achievement scores in general. If you set that aside, because it's at least controversial to think about policy levers such as income redistribution in our society, you begin to say, what can the individual do? And what I'm here to say is that we can do much more as a matter of school policy to support and facilitate healthy behavior on the part of our children and their families. And if by doing so, we indeed would meet some of the same goals and objectives that are associated with No Child Left Behind, for example. I mean, I've actually proposed that we retitle No Child Left Behind to No Child Left with a Big Behind because of the power of what I believe these data represent.
Well, the excuses for not supplying a healthy balance of exercise and diet and sleep and all of that for kids are legion. Virtually every parent knows it's a good idea. So what do you do to lever that?
We're not certainly going to abandon, and I wouldn't propose that we abandon the standard public health approaches about informing people about the importance of physical activity and the consequences of poor diet and inactivity, because we know right now poor diet and inactivity is likely by 2010 to become the leading cause of preventable mortality. Right now, it's the second leading cause of preventable mortality behind tobacco use. So we know that now, and we should be informing the public about these connections, and we should be doing much more than we're currently doing right now in our schools, which I think are failing us in large part because I think many schools around the country are caught up with meeting the No Child Left Behind guidelines for academic achievement. And my whole argument here is that if we want to achieve the goals and objectives for No Child Left Behind, one way to do that is not to cut physical education programs, but bring them back into, and in fact, benchmark health and physical activity, if you will, as part of the No Child Left Behind requirements. I think we need to be encouraging and developing a culture of physical activity. And when I look at the way our communities are organized, and when I look at what people call the built environment, We see much more suburban sprawl. We see residential areas being separated from the areas in which people work or do their shopping. And the point I'm making is that we're seeing people having to get into their automobiles and drive long distances typically to do their work or to do their shopping. And we're not doing the mixed land use development that many epidemiologists and other scientists who are concerned about the limited amount of activity that our built environment allows us. We're not building that kind of environment.
So the new urbanism and neo-traditional neighborhoods are okay by you?
Well, actually, there's some interesting studies about urban environments. There have been studies that have shown, for example, that on average, people who live in cities like New York, and I think it's San Francisco, are leaner compared to people who live in Atlanta and in Houston because of the amount of time that people spend on average driving in automobiles. So to the extent that the built environment encourages walking to and from subway stations, walking to and from blocks to work, these are calories being burned. And if there's any way we can actually structure that in a design feature of the way we build our communities, that is going to contribute to reducing this obesity epidemic, I think, over time.
John Allegrante of the National Center for Health Education is also a consultant to the National Institutes of Health and an advisor to the Centers for Disease Control. I'm Charlie Schlenker, WGLT News.